it became very clear to me that the secret, like I said the other day, the foundation of understanding is the willingness to listen.
Yes.
It's an amazing thing that even Jesus said, I do not speak of myself. You know, it's my Father within me that speaketh the word.
Yes.
And if there's still some form of resistance within us to demonstrate or prove our own particular viewpoint or opinion, we remain in darkness. We cannot yet come to a place where the mind has lost its, I call it the velocity, the ability to overshadow you what you truly are. And that's the secret why Jesus came. And this ability he has given to his church. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit, in other words, human reason or the human mind. And it says, I just got a note here, that you cannot seek God with the human mind or the human brain. The brain, in all its intellectual capacities, and I speak of myself because I haven't got much of that brain working at the moment, or at least, but I'm aiming to let that mind that was also in Christ Jesus function in me.
Amen.
Jesus did not stand in a Hebrew intellectual mind. Like, for instance, Saul of Tarsus. He was trained under the great Gamaliel, the great Hebrew teacher. But all his, he said, I consider everything my dung. Every kind of knowledge that I've ever learned. And we heard that through religion is really the opiate of the people, because it's all generated out of a negative approach to reality. Mm-hmm. And love, when it's allowed to have its full course in us, and it will function really when light that is here, it's here so strong, I can feel it so strong in all what is being said and all that we are now beginning to hear, because we are ready to listen. We are really becoming ready to listen, not comparing notes anymore. What is he saying? Or, you know, I don't agree with this, you know, or whatever. Because we still, on that level, we activate a negative law. And what was mentioned before, and somebody wanted to know the number of what Gary mentioned, the law of attraction. And if you go to my website, you find it at 1625. If you want to take note of it, you can listen to it. And you will see, although I ministered that thing about at least 10 years ago, more, perhaps even more, it still has the impetus to bring about the same feeling that I had in those years, because it is an eternal movement. It's an eternal impetus that comes to us by hearing. Now, hearing not by the outer ear, but hearing with the heart.
Yes.
Hearing with an inner... with an inner, you know, you can feel it within you that something is stirring within you, wanting to say something. You know, in Psalm 46, the heathen rage. Now, the heathen are all these principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, every concept that was generated in what we know today as knowledge. And I found it very interesting when I read 1 Corinthians 13 this morning, where it says, knowledge will cease. Prophecy will cease. Tongues will cease. Wow, what does that all mean? Because there is a knowledge that's far beyond what we call the ability to figure out in this world how to be successful, how to be healthy and wealthy and wise, how to have a good relationship with your wife and how to do everything on a psychological or philosophical basis. That's all very nice. Then I suppose it works up to a level, until you find out it doesn't really work. Because when I was, and I don't want to go into any more testimonies, but when I was with the psychiatrist, he checked me out and he regressed me to my childhood. And the man, he said, when I came out of the hypnosis, he said, "I know what your problem is, son." I said, "He said you got a very deep rejection and sense of inferiority." He said, "But don't worry about it, son. I got one too." I said, "Go out there and have a stiff drink," and that's what I did. I said, "Well, help. Deb will help you." Man, I tell you, I say, "Well, thanks very much." So I am coming now with all my getting. I'm getting understanding to something that had no capacity really to follow any kind of teaching, because even as a child, when in school, I couldn't concentrate. And I was just looking out the window, and the voice of the teacher just vanished. And I saw the butterflies flying, and the birds, and I was not aware that there was anything else but a beautiful sky and the trees outside. And suddenly I got a slap on my hand, "Wake up, son." And he slapped me with this, when one of these canes on my hand. You don't do that anymore today, do you? In school, you can't do that now, But he did, and I felt all swollen up and blue. And I got so angry. I got so angry that I grabbed, in those days, that's a long time ago, Like I say, that's a long time ago. That is 70 years ago. Thank you. That was 70 years ago. And I grabbed the inkwell, and these little inkwells in the desk of, I don't know if any of you remember it.
That's
an old time.
That's for sure 70 years.
Wow. I like this story. I remember it.
And I grabbed the inkwell and I threw it at the teacher.
Yeah,
he hit me on my hand and I was blue, I was hurting, man. And he had a nice summer suit on. Now you guess what happened, don't you? I got kicked out of the school. Praise the Lord for that. So my schooling began very early in my life. And like I said, I don't want to go start testimony or what old stuff what happened in my humanity, because I want to forget my humanity. I don't want to entertain it anymore, and I don't want to pamper it or even try to find some reality in it, because there is no reality in humanity. In Adam, all died, and there is no knowledge in the world that can fix Adam. There's nothing that can fix Humpty Dumpty. Nothing can. But there is a spiritual principle, which is the principle of, love. But how do you, what is love? Have you ever thought what love was? Well, we heard a lot about love. But love is more than just a word, and it's just an emotional feeling or even an attitude that we have towards each other and others. And ourselves even. Love was in the beginning with God. Because love is God. But how can you... Is it God and love? Or is God, is love the only energy? Is it the only thing that has all the knowledge and all the power and all the glory to sustain itself? Do you think that God can sustain itself? Of course. You know, I was generated in the beginning out of that loving thing, what we call God, you know what I mean? I mean, God has so many, you know, meanings to a lot of people, but I only, because I never learned religion like some of you have over the years, because I never saw the, you know, I never entered into a church until I got married. And that's nearly 60 years ago. Nearly 60 years ago. Not quite. I know my wife already 60 years. And I was never looked back and I said, man, Father, I knew exactly what I needed to keep me in line. And he did. I'm telling you, through thick and thin. But anyway, that's how it goes. But the lessons that I learned over the years, because I am not homiletic, I do not know any particular structure or how to present a sermon, as you noticed. But when I say things, I hear things, and all of a sudden, I got to say this because I can feel it. Like I said yesterday, and I could even go on with that, but I don't want to go on with that because... we have heard too much already about, you know, oh yeah, there is no condemnation. Oh no, I know there's no condemnation. Now we know that, don't we? So we don't have to explain that anymore. We know now that we have to come to a more practical approach to what we call love is.
Yes.
You know, how can I absorb the knowledge that love is? How can I find a place where my whole being is being preserved blameless until the full appearing of Christ becomes evident. And I've got an inkling now that this is happening right now. The fullness or the appearing of Christ is appearing now in us without sin. And the first time Christ appeared, he was with sin. He was born of a woman, born under the law, wasn't he? Because he was, when you're born of a woman, you are under the law or in curse of the law, and you are actually controlled by negative energy. And what the law could not do, negative energy, what the law could not do, it was weak through the flesh, God sending his only begotten Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, to redeem them that were all their lifetime subject to the curse of Genesis chapter 2, where men said, I'm afraid. And God said, who told you? I didn't tell you. There's nobody here to tell you. Why do you think you're afraid? And that's where perfect love, what is the life of all men and everything else that there is, was overshadowed by a belief that God is separate from men. You know? So God was formed. You know that... Yeah. Adam formed a god to worship. But because he was guilty, because at that time, what you heard Gary say, the lamb was slain. The moment that the man said, I'm afraid, the lamb was slain, because Adam is the lamb. Yeah. He who knew no sin then was made sin for us. He was made that thing that was governed by fear and anxiety, that there was a possibility for him to cease to be. Or to die, you know what I mean? Well, we know. And we know also that if we continue to entertain negative energy, or the energy of what the world knows as knowledge, whether it is scientific knowledge, psychological knowledge, philosophical knowledge, and especially religious knowledge, all the kind of knowledge what was generated in the what we know today as the mind of flesh. Because the five sensual perceptions cannot perceive God. It doesn't know anything about it. So it had to die. So Jesus came, first of all, descended, like I said yesterday, in the lower parts of the world, and died as the last Adam. That's what the scripture teaches. Isn't that? 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus died as the last Adam. He died for all and as all. So Adam is dead. Don't try to resurrect the dead man. Jesus didn't come here to resurrect the dead man. It's like a caterpillar. You know, a caterpillar at a certain age stage of its being, you know, it get a bit stiff around the gills. You know, what's happening to me? I'm getting, you know, starting to wrinkle up. What's going on with me? Everything is, you know, and he goes into a state of dormancy. And then what happens? Something has died. Huh? Something has died. What died? The idea that I'm a caterpillar. The idea that I am a human, that I'm flesh and blood, that I'm born of a woman, that I'm... And I died. Like the caterpillar, he died. And everybody, you know, goes to my funeral service, oh, you know, and they start giving me the what you do. He was such a good man. I was a poor old man, or he was a very bad man, or whatever you knew. I mean, have you ever looked at somebody and said, I know you as a bad man? And other people say, no, he was a good man. What is he, good or is he bad? So if you're sitting me here, you know, you got an idea about what I am. What do you think I am? Am I a man called Tony? Then you know me. Oh, he's got a lovely wife, and he's so old, and he is whatever. You have your idea about me, you know what I mean? And he used to be very nasty. He used to beat up his wife, you know what I mean? He was, you know, a drunk. But then your other people say, oh no, he's beautiful, he's lovely. What is true? What's true about Tony? What was true about Jesus? He was a man of sorrow, wasn't he? He was smitten with grief and feelings of despair. And who can declare his generation? He was cut away from the land of the living. Who can declare the generation of a butterfly when you think everything's dead? You know, when you see a cocoon dead and brown and dry and, you know, and you look at it, or a seed. But there's something stirring inside of that dead caterpillar. They're dead men. Something is happening. You know what I mean? Something so beautiful that it is beyond comprehension what God has prepared in himself to bring out himself in such a way out of something that is totally, you know, miserable. A drunk. Or a prostitute. You know. He brings something out of there that eye has not seen. And ear hasn't heard. And it has not even entered in the heart of man that what God has prepared for those that perceive him. Now, you read it, of those that love him. But we know, I mean, everybody will say, I love God, and you know, all that. Yeah, and how are you today? Well, I don't know. Well, there's something happening. Now, I'm going to read from Ephesians. And Paul says here, after he had the revelation, what he, you know, what he got on the road to Damascus, you know, bright light shone, and he heard a voice say, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Who are you? Notice that he said, Lord. He said, who are you, Lord? And he heard a voice, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But Lord, I mean, I'm not persecuting you, you know. Yes, you are. I'm persecuting those fanatics that are trying to change the Hebrew religion by saying that the law is no longer effective, that there's no need for circumcision, you know, and all that kind of stuff. What do you think? What? Saul? Yes, Lord. They are me. You're persecuting me because that me is the whole of the body of Christ. And God reconciled all unto himself, not classifying them and say, you are a Gentile, you are a, you know, you are drunk, you're black, you're white, whatever. God doesn't see, he's colorblind, he can't see anything but himself. Yeah. Isn't that right? So Paul says, after all that he recognized something. He said, unto me, who am less than least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of the image that is coming out of that, the, you know, dormant state, the caterpillar, if you like to call it, while we are beholding as in a glass, you know, the image that is full of energy. Something to get to know yourself the way you are known. You are a begotten of the Father. And I could never understand that I understand it now. When it says in James 1, you know, that he begot us of himself, of truth. I said, Lord, what does it mean? Begotten of truth. Now Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, my servants would fight. But for this cause and for this reason was I born. Now you are going to say that to yourself. For this cause and for this cause and for this reason was I born. So keep on saying that to yourself, but then answer yourself and say, for this cause I was born into this world to bear witness to truth. That's why I was born. In all the obstructions, everywhere you go, you see obstructions. Stop signs, you know, no good. Don't go there, don't get there. You're threatened on every side to be careful. Be careful now to get deceived. Well, I mean, I was in a place where I was totally overshadowed and deceived by every wind of doctrine, by every feeling that I had, not so much by religion, but by every other experience what I had in my human existence. I was totally perplexed. I was overtaken by care, by worry, by feelings of inferiority and rejection, and all that stuff was working in me and producing me around what I now call death. The wages of this is death. If you continue to meditate on how guilty you are and how fearful you are and how miserable you are and that I haven't got this and nobody loves me and all that, you will finish up dying. I'm talking about literal dying now, okay? Because there's something functioning in you in this realm of negative energy that produces the very thing what you don't want. Now, unto me, who is least and less of all saints, is this grace that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, he says Gentiles. Why not say, I'm going to preach to the Hebrews? Well, he did too. He also preached to the... But he made it clear that the Gentiles were all heirs of God. All are heir of God. And if you are an heir of God, you are a joint heir with Christ. Isn't that wonderful? To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hidden God, who created all things. By Jesus Christ. Notice that it says Jesus Christ. So God has got a name, but there's more to it, because we know also that when Jesus was born of Mary, there was an angel declaring, and you shall call his name Jesus. But it says also, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. God with us, God in us, God through us, and God as us. So I'm not ashamed to say Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Christ of God, but not so much the man, because the man said, out of myself I can do nothing. So no, he let go of his humanity, but his name is still Jesus. It's still a name that is above all name, and every knee shall bow to the, you know, to the glory of God the Father. In Jesus, all the wisdom and the knowledge and the glory that is inherent within every one of us is awakened. Awake thou that sleep. Huh? In death. So we are all in a state of the cocoon, like the caterpillar. So don't try to scratch it open, have a look inside of whether it's working or not. You know what I mean? It's working. Look. Let me tell you. It's working. Be still and know the workings of grace and truth, which are working, and it's working perpetually, and it has no end to it. As Jesus said, I am come that you may have life. And obviously they were not enjoying it at the time. This is why he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. Have you heard about the anointing this morning? He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the captives of what I would call the material, sensual mind, that can only know problems. It can never see through the facade of the imaginations that haunt us. Whether these are religious imaginations or philosophical imaginations, or even believing that there is some answer in the mental or physical world, that we eventually going to find the elixir of life somewhere in some kind of secret place in the Himalaya somewhere, you know. Or in some special oil or some special stuff, they'd be going to fight. This is it. No. It's an allegory. He has anointed us with gladness, with the spirit of joy. You got a little bit of oil on you this morning, you know? That's symbolic of the thing what's coming to you now. That's the symbol. Now it's the outworking, is the realization of it. That your joy might be made full. Isn't that wonderful? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Wonderful. Okay. To the intent or the purpose of this. So that thing what was created by Jesus Christ, or by in the beginning, which is called the Logos, or the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and we have learned from Martha that it is called willed action. Now, love is a willed action. You know what I'm saying there? Love never fails. It will accomplish that for which it is constantly working in everybody that there is. It, never mind who it is, where it is. It's right in the middle of the jungles. It's right in the middle of a terrorist camp. It's working there too, you know that? It was working in Hitler. It was working in every in Mussolini. And it even works in the Pope. It works in every what we call formation of what we call humanity. It's in there because there is a spirit in man. And the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. So the understanding is coming. Regardless of all the, you know, the activity of what we call the carnal mind, which is the devil. It's the devil. It's something that generates negative energy constantly, all the time. And it, by your word, you'll be justified because I'm so sick, I'm so lonely, nothing ever is working out for me, and you get everything what you say. And even the centurion, when he came to me, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, and you know, I can use to speak the word. And Jesus said, I have not so seen so great faith, not even in Israel. He said, your faith has made your servant whole. Yes. To a centurion, to a pagan. Can a pagan have faith? Yeah. To every man is being given the measure of faith. But the spirit of faith is something else. The spirit of faith is the realization that you are the faith of God in manifestation. You are the willed action of God in manifestation. I've come into the world to bear witness to truth. And Jesus said, because Pilate wants to know, what's truth? What is truth? Jesus didn't answer him. He just said, for this cause and for this reason was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I may bear witness to truth. And then he said something very strange. Those that are of the truth. So the centurion was of the truth, because he heard. He heard something, because otherwise you can't have faith. He was hearing something within himself, and he was bearing witness to the authority by which Jesus spoke and did. And he recognized that this is it, boys. He said, speak the word only, and my servant will be made whole. That's the spirit of faith. And if the same spirit of faith that was in Christ Jesus dwells in you, it will make alive your mortal body. It will quicken you. And it's quickened me. I can only bear witness to what I have experienced as a spirit that raised me up out of whatever death situation I was in. But like I say, I'm not going to emphasize my humanity anymore, because it had nothing to do with my humanity. You know, God was on my case, and he wants to reveal himself in me, like he revealed it to Saul, a murderer. Somebody that was going around killing Christians. But he said, for this least, the least of all saints is this mystery given, that I should preach amongst the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Aren't we doing that? Aren't you hearing it? That this, the unsearchable riches, you know, the bottom of the barrel has not yet come. We've not come to the bottom of the barrel yet. We're still digging deep into it, and we're finding more treasures that are in this earthen vessel. They're hidden there. Hidden in this earthen vessel. And we are beholding the glory of God that is now being demonstrated. Set your eye upon Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, lest we should be weary and faint in our minds. So if you feel a bit fainty in your mind, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. But you know, God will continue to speak to you in your innermost being when you go through hell. And some of you have been there. You've been saying, now, why is this happening to me? Why is all this stuff happening to me? Don't worry about what is happening to you. Learn a lesson. Learn a lesson that summer is nigh. The winter is gone. My beloved is speaking. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one. For behold, the winter is past. The voice of the spirit, the dove, is heard in my land. Are you hearing the voice of the turtle? The voice of the Holy Ghost speaking to you and saying, rise up, my love, my fair one. The winter is past. The trials are nearly over. Just be still now and stay with it, because even if the trials get bad, don't worry about it. You know, the darkest moment is just before the sun.
That's right.
Just before the sun rises. And now the sun is beginning to appear on the horizon with healing in its wings. Isn't that wonderful? So don't be afraid. It's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. There's no worries, boys and girls. To the intent, to the purpose, the reason why it was... to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, you know, with all the warfare going on, what Gary was sharing. Now we're going to let all these negative energies know that there is a higher realm where all these things will just dissolve into its native nothingness.
Absolutely.
That's what it says. To the intent now unto the principalities and powers of all these religious things that are in the what we call the lower heavens. Because that's where the principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness function. They do not function in the heaven where God is, you know what I mean? The battle is over. The battle is over, it's finished. And go in all the evil and all the stuff and everything else what you've been so afraid of and worried you so much is going up like a puff of smoke. It is. Because there cannot be darkness in light. There cannot be an opposite to what God is. There cannot be an opposite to love. This is why it says here in this, all this, and I want you to read this, but I want you to read this in a different way, as Gary already done it, and I'll just do it again. So let's refresh ourselves that we are that, okay? We always said, yeah, love, you know, love is doing this and love is... Well, now I'm going to say something. I suffer long. I am kind. Now, keep on saying that to yourself. When you keep on saying, I am kind, and your wife says something, I'm kind. I'm kind, okay. Okay. I do not puff myself up. I don't give my own opinion now. What you're saying, you know, wasn't very nice. But now, you shouldn't have said that because it hurt me. I can never be hurt. Can God be hurt by what you say or what you do? Then there is only God. So how can God be hurt? If you still feel hurt, then it is not God that's feeling the hurt. It is your humanity that's feeling the hurt because you're still identifying with negative energy. You got to go over and above and rise up into the realm where the Spirit is love, where the Spirit is speaking and recognizing and seeing that. You know, To be honest, I took some time for me to realize or to understand fully what Mike was saying about judging righteous judgment. I hope that finally I've come to the understanding of what he was saying. And that's what it is. I do not vaunt myself up, and I'm not puffed up, and I do not behave myself unseemingly. I'm not seeking my own righteousness, but a righteousness that is of God. A righteousness that is a free gift. It's not something what, you know, I'm righteous because I'm morally excellent. I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't kick the cat. I don't beat up my wife. I've done all these things. And there was this man who was celebrating his 100th. He was 100 years old. 100 years old. Wow. And people said, what's the secret of you, you know, getting to 100 years old? He said, I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't go out with bad women. I have always been good. I've never done anything bad. And I am now... And I'm now celebrating my 100th birthday. Then the man said to him, how? Why don't you go and sit in the graveyard and smoke a cigar? Why don't you celebrate life, you know what I mean? I'm not advocating that you should go and get drunk, you know. But, you know, you'll get the picture. You cannot celebrate life if you just look at yourself from not doing this and not doing that and not doing that. You might as well say, I'm giving up sex too. Well, you might as well dig a hole. So there you go, you see. So now we are learning then that love never fails. But whether they be prophecies, how many prophecies are in the human consciousness? This is going to happen. That's going to happen. And you go to a fortune teller and they tell you, you're going to meet a dark figure. Or you're going to meet a rich woman. Or you're going to get this disease because I looked in your eyes and I saw something there. And you live by the prophecies and by the things what generate in this negative, satanic realm, what we call the carnal mind, which operates in all humanity, regardless of whether you're religious or not. I wasn't religious, but as a matter of fact, I've never been religious. But I had other things what I needed to come out of, you know what I mean? And we're coming out of Babylon, like what Babylon is fallen. And falling rapidly. Can you see the bricks, the whole structure is falling apart to the seams. And when we were in Milan, you know, we ministered there to a whole beautiful, and I expected to see a whole bunch of Italians there, you know. And there was all these people from Ethiopia, from Ghana, from every kind of, even my translator was from Ghana. I thought to myself, what's happening here? And, he said, Lord, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, what are you talking about? I'm speaking to a people that want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
Not where they come from, or what color they are, or what creed they are. You speak the word only. Okay, all right. And I walked across Trevor, who is leading the fellowship there. He took us to the square, you know, where all these beautiful churches are. Magnificent cathedrals, all dedicated to a God of good and evil. A God that doesn't exist, who demanded sacrifice and offering and blood offering and worship idols. Everything we saw, and no respect to the, you know, the Catholic religion, but on the top of this cathedral stood this pure gold, mind you. I don't know how much it weighed, but it must have weighed well over a ton. maybe two more, a pure golden image of Mary ascending into heaven. And all these people that have built that cathedral, probably slaved their little hearts and souls, and probably died while they're working to build this huge monstrosity. I think, oh Father, when is the darkness lifting out of this Roman concept of God and man and the universe? It created so much death and destruction and warfare and corruption. How can we escape this? Well, in 2 Peter 1, it said we can escape this through the divine nature of God.
Amen.
Okay, what's the word nature? The word nature is the word physis. As it speaks for itself. It is a fusion together of what we call the mind and to the spiritual, as you know, Paul says that once we were married to the law, Romans 7, okay, and we did exactly, and we were bound to the law for as long as a man lives. But then Paul began to speak about, and he was not speaking about, you know, human marriage, men and women getting married together. That was only an allegory to revealing that the human mind, who was alienated from the life of God through the ignorance and the blindness that existed in his heart, is now divorced, detached from it, and marries another. The spirit. And when those, it says that, read it for yourself. Those two are joined together as one, it brings forth fruit unto God. 30-fold, 60-fold, and even 100-fold. That's the principle of the Spirit coming to us to revealing the mystery of the fellowship that had been hid in God from the foundation of the world, that is now being, it's actually becoming into fruition. It's coming now to pass that all shall know me. All begin to know me because the light is shining out of darkness to give us back the light of the knowledge of the glory.
Yeah. Amen.
What's the knowledge of the glory? Is that intellectual, religious, or philosophical knowledge that we have about something? No, that's the knowledge how to put a fragrance on a rose. Huh? Can you do that? You can put a bit of artificial stuff on, make it smell nice. And you can put a bit of artificial stuff on yourself to smell nice. Or do something. But you see, in the final analysis, you can't do anything. You can't improve yourself, you can't improve anybody else. Because the more you try, the harder it becomes. You cannot save people from physical death. You must realize that death is swallowed up in victory when we are joined unto him who is the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Amen.
And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never see death. Do you believe that? You believe that life, you know, life itself has nothing to do with your physical frame. You know, we have this thing because we live on Earth, we breathe oxygen, and this is how we live. Now, if you go to another planet, for instance, and that planet might be a sulfuric acid. And people drink that stuff, you know, and eat that stuff. That's all allegorical, of course. But we don't need the physical essence of life we call oxygen or anything else what we need. Whether it is food or clothing, all these things are necessary for the physical life. But Jesus came, he said, the life that I live, or the life that is the true life, is not subject to material law. And not. You said life immortal is coming to light.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Life immortal has nothing to do with whether you're being healthy or whether you're being wealthy, doesn't really matter. It's more, what matters most is you get the understanding that Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I could also say, I is the resurrection. And when Jesus said, I am the resurrection, I can also say, I am the resurrection. Because there's only one. Only begotten self that is now coming into its own. So this body of Christ is the fullness of God that fills all in all. It's there. But you know, just saying that, and we have been reading that for how many centuries, have been reading the scriptures and trying to find the elixir or that thing that quickens and that restores and that breaks the life. Then I have discovered that unless we let go of every attachment, I mean, let's say it this way, we are not going to say, okay, I'm going to stop this and stop that and stop this and stop that. That's not going to do it. You still die. You got to find out the isness of being. You know what I mean by that? The isness of being. So there is never any conflict with person or condition. So we do not try to change the circumstances on the level of the circumstances. We have never any conflict with person or condition, but rather we entertain a false concept mentally entertained about person, thing, circumstance or condition. Something has generated in us hell over so many thousands of years, and we have tried to correct things on the level of hell, you know, and it won't work. You must completely come out of every, whether it's good or whether it's evil, whether it's a belief in this or a belief in that. There is no more believing in anything, or it is simply realizing that God already is. And because God is, I am. I am.
Amen.
Therefore, make the correction within yourself. I've got to make the correction and stop meddling around with the outer appearances of things, you know. Or even try to change or anyone or anything in the without. We must acknowledge God as the substance and only law and principle that governs, sustains and maintains the universe. And when I say God, I can also say love. Love is a sustaining substance and law of the universe. It's the activity of all that there is. It's the, you know, now I can say, well, positive energy. But when I say positive energy, I'm not saying that there is an opposite to it. Because there isn't. Because that's the, you know, what we call the human activity where good and evil exist and can happen. There's the realm of karma. You know, whenever I would, you know, would do something, everything always goes wrong. That's Murphy's Law. With the, you know, when you, whatever you believe in your heart and say with your mouth, that's what's going to happen. That is, but you can transcend these beliefs. You can come to an understanding that God is the substance and law, and love is the maintaining, sustaining energy that keeps all things by the word of its own power and never ceases to amaze me how it works. I can give you testimony after, even while we are on the journey, how God provided things, and even Martha's brothers was amazed. Now, he's atheist. He doesn't believe in God. He said, don't talk to me about God. But we didn't say a word. And the manifestations that took place, that were impossible from on a human plane. But he thought, he said, you're going to stay with us because you can't get onto the plane until you got a confirmation, you got your ticket verified, you got to place your seats, and everything is going to be right. And you are in Spain and nobody speaks English, you can't even explain what's the matter. And the way it went, that was just amazing. We went into the airport where it was practically impossible to get things corrected in what we forgot to do on the internet, and we didn't book it properly and sing, you know. And then we went to this man, one of the, you know, one from the Delta Airlines, and we were not flying Delta Airline, we were flying another airline, but and we didn't know how to get on to the plane because our tickets and everything was messed up. So we went to Delta and said to this man who happened to speak fluent English. He was an Italian. His father was Italian and his mother was something like that, English. And he spoke fluent English. He said, what's the problem? He said, we forgot to confirm that, you know, the flights and the seats and everything all like that. Okay, he said, he asked Martha, what's your name? Martha. Okay. And there was Martha's brother standing right next to Martha. Looking at her. Shaking his head. You never get on the plane. You're never going there. You know, you got to come home with me again. You've got to stay another week. So, you got to pay the fee. You got to pay everything again. And of course, it costs you double the money. And the man said, what's your name? Martha? Okay. He went in the back and looked in the computer. Next door.
Was the office.
That was the airline that we flew with, which was closed. The thing was closed. So, but the man somehow could get in there into their computer, typed in Martha, and there comes up the thing, and he confirmed it. He gave us a number, confirmation number, and everything else like that, and he gave it to my wife, said everything is fixed, everything is nice, you can just mention the number and all this well. And you know, brother said, this is a fluke. This is absolutely, that cannot be, you know. Doesn't happen in Spain. In Spain, nothing works like that, you know. But I'm not in Spain. I'm in the kingdom of God, you know what I mean? So there are little things what happened, and so many things happened. Because we sent our luggage to Detroit, and I know where we were, and we thought that it was all sent to what? To Detroit. Yes. We came to Los Angeles, wasn't it right?
No, when we went back to Minneapolis and then to Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
And then the thing went by and they were our suitcase.
And we thought it was...
We didn't even know they were going to be there.
We were waiting for it to go to Detroit, and then we saw in Minneapolis, we saw our two... Hey, look at this. So God's got everything working and working for the good. If you just be sensitive to it. Because if you become sensitive to the wonderful gospel that Jesus demonstrated, the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Allow it to operate in you by recognizing that you are not just a human struggling for survival, trying to do the best you can, and, you know, live longer of whatever you want to do. It's okay, you can live longer if you want to. You can, I suppose, I don't know. But I don't really worry about that anymore. After a while, you're not concerned about that. But at the same time, you're still sort of responsible. You know. Yeah. So I try to be, you know, sort of responsible, but I'm not very responsible. My wife does everything for me. But anyway, that's all right. Okay. Now, I want to sort of, in closing, I want to go to Matthew chapter 24. And he began to, I'll read a couple of scriptures in, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, 23:37. O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, you kill the prophets and stone them which I sent unto you. How often would I have gathered you, thy children, together, even as a hen gathers out her chickens under her wings, but you would not listen. I would say you couldn't listen because you were so stooped in the darkness of your religious cult, worshipping a God of wrath and punishment and of sacrifice that even demand human sacrifice. It's so pagan to even... Jesus began to expose it. He said, behold, I leave your house desolate. In other words, the house of whatever the Hebrews were in, Jesus left desolate. But I say unto you, ye shall not see me, see me. Do you see Jesus today? I see him. Ye shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Blessed is he that knows his own name. Do you know your name, by which all the family and earth in heaven is named? What's your name? Moses said to the Lord. I am. That's it. Nothing more. I didn't say I'm good, I'm all powerful, I'm this, I'm... He just said, I am. I am that I am. And you know, by that revelation, even though he had to introduce the moral law, the constitution of what we know as the moral law, do this and don't do that and all that. But in the in the journey of Israel through the wilderness, they were baptized unto Moses. 1 Corinthians 10. They were baptized unto Moses in the Spirit. Because it says they were eating of that spiritual manna and they were drinking of the spiritual drink. And you know, there was not one feeble one amongst them right through the 40 years that Moses walked in the revelation of that name. I am with you. Wherever you go. Not one feeble one. There wasn't even a funeral. Not one. There was nothing happening as long as the name. But then they were overthrown in the wilderness by all their concept. And they want to go back to Egypt. Can you just go back to Egypt? To the flesh pot? To the bad breath? And the onions and the garlic? Oh. Well. Onions and garlic is good for you. I like them, you know what I mean? But the symbolism is there that we should not return to the beggarly elements of this world where we try to sustain ourselves or maintain ourselves by just being aware that God is our total sufficiency in all things. Amen. So Jesus went out and departed from the temple. He departed from the house altogether. He departed from it. Understand that? It's not just allegorical. What is allegorical? It departed from the Hebrew idea of God and its house. And the disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Now, why would you show Jesus the buildings of the temple? Why, he just said he departed from it. Can't you see him glistening in the sun? How beautiful and white. Yeah, that's what I saw in Rome too. In Milan, glistening and white and shining and gold. Everything is so beautiful. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall be not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Every concept, every religious belief, everything that was generated in the structural, what we know today as the church, any concepts shall be thrown down and uprooted and plucked up. And how is it going to be overthrown? By a little stone. A little stone hewn out of the mountains without hands. A realization of a spiritual body that is right here and now. Right amongst us is a spiritual dimension called the ascended body that is now no longer a caterpillar but has become out of its cocoon and rising above all these principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. We are no longer governed by five sensual mechanism to, you know, struggle like a caterpillar, you know, chewing all things and trying to eat up all your vegetables and that. Now we're floating as a butterfly, far above, like an eagle, stretching out its wings and looking. As far as the east is from the west, so shall the Son of Man coming out of the east. You know, it says in Genesis 11 that Noah and his family, they went from the east. From the east. Now, that doesn't mean from India somewhere, China somewhere. Now, from the east means they went from within to the without. And instead, they built a tower called the Tower of Babel. Babel, whatever you like to call it. They built this tower and they want to reach heaven. They want to find this thing. And you know, they stepped away from the within, which they are, the true essence of life, and they tried to build a structural thing that, and on the top of the Tower of Babel, you know that, what that was on the top?
What?
A big zodiac. That's where all prophecy started, on the Tower of Babel. Well, actually it started before that, but it was confirmed again. And even in Hebrew temples, or Hebrew synagogue, they dug one up some years ago. They dug this synagogue up and they found this, the floor of this thing was still preserved in mosaic tiles. And guess what was on the bottom of this, of the synagogue, of the, you know, a great big zodiac sign. That's what it is. People are still looking towards what's going to happen tomorrow. They're still prophesying the end of the world. They're still prophesying the coming of Jesus. They're doing all these things. What Jesus said, I never left. I will be with you even to the end of the world. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even if hell breaks loose, I will be there. When you go through the waters, I will be there. When you go through a disease, I will be there. When you go through, well, if you even go to death, I'll be there. You'll never see death. You know, I know that as soon as certain as I can see every one of you here. There is no death. Death is just as illusory as a mirage on the desert. It's all phantom realm of beliefs that has existed for so thousands of years controlling us because we believed that there was a thing called time that progresses into the future and eventually we see the outcome of it and it's going to be God going to judge the world. No. If there was any judgment, it was already done and it's already finished. You know, he finished judging, he judged himself because he became the devil. You know what? That's what Jesus said. As Moses lifted up the serpent, representing the devil, representing all these demonic activities of the human mind that everything existed, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent, Jesus was lifted up as the serpent. As the serpent of humanity, he died as the last Adam. That was the serpent. It was generated in Genesis chapter 2. It was the serpent. And still hanging from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, trying to deceive you into believing. And you know what Jesus said? Well, read this. And he said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? And of the end of the world?" Now, you would have expected, well, you know, Jesus said there's going to be Antichrist, there's going to be this, going to happen, that's going to happen. Well, that's true, that's going to happen. But Jesus didn't answer it in such a way. He first said, "Take heed that no man deceive you." And then he began to relate. Now, let me tell you this. When the disciple says, "What shall be the sign of thy coming?" The word "coming" does not mean Jesus coming from somewhere, okay? It doesn't mean that. We have misconstrued the whole thing of the coming of the Lord, or the coming of Jesus. The coming of the Lord is the coming of Spirit into your awareness. That's the coming of the Lord. Because the Lord is that Spirit, isn't that right? And when the Spirit of the Lord is coming, or realized, or recognized, there is emancipation from every human activity in the carnal mind. The freedom. Everybody say, "I'm free."
I'm free.
Now you are free, not tomorrow. Now is the day of salvation, and now only is the accepted time. So you know that there is no time in now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There you go. So everything what you need to know is now I am complete, I am whole, I'm the offspring of God, nothing can by any means hurt me because I know myself the way I'm known of God. God knows me and I know myself the way I'm known because there's only God. Now, so then, so the coming then means presence. What shall be the sign of thy presence be? Then he said, "Let no man deceive you." Because there will be many signs that can overthrow you, and be the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of all the things that are happening in the world, can really overtake you by the cares and the worries about everything that's happening. I said, "Take heed that it does not deceive you into believing that something is happening, because nothing is happening. Only love is happening." Okay. In the second closing. Second Peter. Second Peter 1. Okay. Now this is the real. It is real. The First Peter and the Second Peter, chapter 1. And I ministered on that many times. 2 Peter chapter 1, 16. "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables." All the things that are happening in the world and the activities of whatever is generated in religion are fables. The word is mythos, fables of the mind, imagination, what Gary spoke about this morning, casting down imaginations. Yeah. All these things that have existed there. And they're still troubling a lot of Christians today, you know. "We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, the same as I said before, coming doesn't mean coming from somewhere. Can God come from somewhere? He's all present. This is why Jesus said, "I can never leave you nor forsake you, because I am already there. I'm always there. I am is there. I am that." And that's what it is. Now, you know, that's what it is. I mean, oh, this is so wonderful. Isn't it wonderful?
Wonderful.
Everybody say, "Oh, this is wonderful."
Yeah.
I am wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, now, all right. Now, we have not followed cunningly devised fables, but we made known unto you the power and presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when did the disciples recognize the coming? Because it had to be recognized. Not something that's going to happen, but it's recognized. And they recognized it when they were with him on the Holy Mount of Transfiguration, where we beheld the only begotten of the Father. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. This is my Son, in whom we are well pleased. Listen to him. Listen. Don't talk about it. Don't expect something to happen in the future. Recognize that it is here. It's here. It's been here all the time. Now we've gone, oh, it's here. And a panorama of, I mean, everything starts to glister around you. It is so beautiful and so holy and so lovely to be able to see these things now that we are now coming out of Babylon, you know. Finally, what, because that's what Babel means, confusion. Out of confusion, out of not uncertainty. What am I going to eat, drink, or what, you know, I got no money. You know, you got everything what you need. You don't need anything. You're already complete. But your self-completeness has to be recognized by the coming or the presence of the only begotten of the Father, which you now are as you behold that you are it. What you behold, he is. You cannot be God, I'm beholding God, but no, you don't. You're beholding yourself. I am. I am. I'm free from all fables. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, where there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. Now that is glory that excelleth. A glory that's far above all the glories of the world. All the glories of religion and whatever knowledge that we have. Far above anything at all. To a spontaneous activity of the energy, what we call love, that, like I say, that puts the fragrance on the rose. Huh? That makes everything function unerringly by the word of its own power. Love maintains everything. There's nothing to, you know, nothing to be improved. Everything is already perfect. And he saw it was good. And when he begot you out of himself, he saw, and he saw himself. Hey, that's me. That's me. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. But we also have a more sure word of prophecy, or actually, when you, whereunto you do well, when you take heed, as a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day star, what Gary spoke about, remember? When the day star arise in your heart. And that star we follow. We follow the inner guidance. The day star, the inner guidance, the prompting, the Christ revelation, the guiding, the thing that guides the geese across 10,000 miles over the sea. Doesn't need a compass. Doesn't need a GPS. I was watching the bus driver checking his, so we got a safe home, watching the GPS. Well, there's a guiding principle that's far greater and stronger and better, you know, safe to follow, is the voice of him that calls you. He calls you into his chambers. I sleep, but my heart wakes. It's the voice of my beloved saying to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Come away. Let's go, come away from all the cares of this world and the feelings of despair and the feelings. I know, I've got them too. We are not yet fully, fully energized by love to escape all the stuff in the world. You know what I mean? Some of the stuff still hangs on there like a bad smell.
Like a bad smell.
And it's not cigar smoke, okay? And it's not even alcohol. It's something else. But I'm not going to talk about that other thing, because we now know that the fragrance that is now ascending into us and renewing the mind so it can hear and see and perceive the fragrance of all the ages that has been hid in God but now is known. Even the five senses beginning to sense something different. Even the it says in the scripture in Hebrews chapter 5 that the spiritual senses are exercised to perceive what is happening. So you got to exercise the spiritual senses that are far greater than just the five physical mechanics of the mind. Now, there is a rest for the people of God. You know, it says in Genesis that God rested on the seventh day. And we made the seventh day something in the seven, you know. While we are not Seventh-day Adventists, although we are, in a way, because I have entered into his rest. By knowing that my old man is dead, buried, gone forever, never ever to be remembered. And I walk in the spirit of a loving Father that cares for me so much, that's within me, and let me know that there is not two, there's only one. So, what is there to worry about? Have you still got a feeling of I'm lacking, or I'm fearing, or I'm dead? Then you're living in darkness. Begin to say to yourself, I have already all things. And the scripture says, to those that have revelation, to those that have insight, more shall be given. More of what? More of insight. More of the depth of the unsearchable riches of Christ that is now being revealed by his church. And it's being demonstrated to the principalities and power and the rulers of the darkness to say to them, listen, you no longer have any control of any of the people that you have in your congregation because they are free. Let them go. Let my people go. And let them be free to find themselves the way they are known. Let them find the true Father of all, who loves you all, and want to share not only his life with you, he wants to be you in all expression and all manifestation. World without end. Thank you very much.